The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
We have a situation whereby we're waiting for the government to tell us tomorrow what the latest living with COVID roadmap is going to be. We've been getting all sorts of hints about how the reopening of things will not start until May, and also that midsummer would be the time which you might be able to go on a holiday in the country or have restaurants and pubs open. Which, what's the definition of midsummer? And according to the Irish calendar, summer is May, June, July, which means hopefully middle of June we'll start opening up at the time when the British are talking about being fully open up. But if you go by the meteorological calendar, yeah, it's later, isn't it? And that would mean midsummer would be mid-July before we started having the things to which we thought we would have for the summer available to us. So let's talk to a few people. Let's start with Lisa Eccles from Zinc Hair and Beauty in Kilmainham, who is a vice president of the Irish Hairdressers Federation, Kilmainham being in Dublin, of course. Lisa, it's amazing, isn't it, how little is now spoken about people's needs to get to the hairdresser or barbers.
I suppose that at the moment we kind of felt ourselves we didn't want to come out giving out too much about being closed, because I think as hairdressers we've proven to be very responsible through the whole pandemic, and we understand that while the case numbers were so high there was no way that we could be open. But certainly now, after hearing what's happening in the UK and how they plan to open hairdressers in the earlier reopenings, we certainly are going to start to direct some discussion towards government about making sure we're early on in the reopening phases.
Yeah, but there is a difference in that they're way ahead of us in the vaccinations, which I suppose means they can justify trying this.
Oh, absolutely. No, I just mean like as in, you know, obviously we are a little bit behind them, but when the government do look to when they're going to open each phase, that we do get open earlier. I think we have proven all along to be very safe. And I suppose there is a huge concern there that the black market trade is kind of doing a rip-roaring trade at the moment with people going house to house. And that's certainly not going to help with case numbers. And at least if salons were open, it's a controlled environment, we can guarantee like that, you know, our staff are being well trained on how to minimise any risks, and that also our clients feel nice and safe coming into us as well. Which we actually got some stats back from when we were open, and 98% of people who visited a hair salon when we reopened had felt it was one of the safest places that they could be.
Yeah, is there much of this black market stuff going on, do you think? Because I'm sure a lot of people are sort of wary of being seen with a particularly good haircut or a hair colouring, in case people say to them, well, you weren't able to do that for yourself.
Well, I tell you, certainly myself, Matt, if I'm in the supermarket and I see somebody with a good haircut, I'm saying you better have a hairdresser that lives in your house. But it is a worry. You know, it is a concern. Like there is certainly that element of it that is happening. And that, as from the Irish Hairdressers Federation, that's out of our control. We can't control that. All that we can control is getting salons reopened as soon as it's safe to do so, and that we can then provide a really safe environment that won't add to the cases of COVID-19 in the country.
What do you make of the messages you're getting from government as to when things might be likely for you?
Well, we had a very good meeting, I suppose, 2 weeks ago with the Department of Business, and they did feel that we were one of the safer places, but they're not able to give us any kind of a timeline. And I suppose, for me, I just would like if we can get some clarity tomorrow about what their plan is for the reopening, at least then we can start to make some plans. I think what causes the most amount of stress and anxiety in people is that unknown. It's just not knowing how much longer. I mean, we've already been closed now for 8 weeks since the 24th of December, and it's a long time to be out of work. It's a long time for our clients as well. I mean, Matt, like I call my clients, some of my elderly clients that would be in their 80s, I try and keep in touch with them every week or so. I'm trying to put phone calls in, and I had the most upsetting phone call last week with one of my clients who's 82, and she's just really struggling. She's physically not able to wash her own hair. She doesn't really have anybody who's available to come into her house, and she's terrified as well of anybody coming in. And, you know, she was really upset on the phone to me last week and said that she felt like as if life wasn't even worth living anymore.
That's very, very sad to hear.
It was absolutely devastating.
All right, Lisa. Thank you very much, Vice President of the Irish Hairdressers Federation. Padraig Cribbins with us now, Chief Executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, looking after most of the pubs outside of Dublin. What are you expecting out of tomorrow's announcement, Padraig?
Well, we've got very mixed messaging, Matt, over the last week or so. We've had the Taoiseach on the one hand saying that they don't expect to consider the reopening of the hospitality sector until midsummer. That was one side of the coin. The other side of the coin, we had the Taoiseach the saying that he was looking forward to having a beer in a beer garden by midsummer. So if you can square that circle, it's good.
What's the definition of midsummer, Padraig?
Listen, your guess is as good as mine. I think it would be easier if the government came out and were honest with us and said they don't know, because I assume that they don't. And what I'd like to see in the roadmap tomorrow is a recognition of the fact that our businesses, the vast majority of our members, in 3 weeks' time will have been closed for 12 months, except for 16 days. So what I really want to see is a commitment, number one, to maintain, but more importantly, to improve the supports that are there, so that when we can reopen on a safe basis, in a safe manner, all together, that, and I noticed that in the UK, there's none of this messing about food and non-food pubs, it's all together. I think that when we're allowed open, that we'll be in a position to do so. So the two things we'd like to see is a commitment to improve the supports that are there on the one hand, and then tell us under what conditions that we are likely to be able to reopen, so that if they're not prepared to give us a roadmap, that we can have a feel ourselves for what the roadmap might look like.
Okay. Now, how are many of your members doing? Because what I've been hearing from some publicans is that those who don't have substantial debts are able to get by on the supports that they have, but those that might have large bank borrowings to pay off are in trouble. What's your take on it?
I think the take is somewhat in that territory. I don't. The ones that don't have serious bank borrowings, they're still under pressure, Matt, because there are a lot of bills coming in the door, whether it be insurance bills, whether it be energy bills, whether it be alarm bills, etc. So, and it is the cumulative effect of all of those. So if you had a certain amount of savings, etc., they got you through the first couple of months. But now we're 12 months in, you know, depending, as you say, on your definition of midsummer, we could be 16, 17, 18 months in. Nobody is going to survive that. So even the ones who are less challenged will be very challenged in that scenario. They will need the supports increased. And on the other side, anybody who has an exposure to the banks or who have serious leases, they are in significant bother. And really, the one institution that has proved themselves totally incapable in all of this has been our central bank, whether it be from an insurance point of view or a banking point of view. The rest of Europe were able to get additional mortgage payment breaks, but unfortunately our central bank didn't see fit to allow for that to happen. And that's, I think, a serious mistake. And I think it's something that does need to be revisited.
OK, one other thing for you. What about this announcement from Helena McEntee, the Minister for Justice, over the weekend about longer opening hours when the pubs do reopen? How much of a bright light does that offer to you?
I'm not sure it's a bright light at all. I think it adds a significant more confusion and anxiety to the scenario of the mismessaging that was coming out over the weekend. Essentially, there is no great appetite for additional opening hours, except in some locations at weekends for late night economy than anything else. And you know, I think it's a kind of a kite that's been flown as part of a Department of Justice work plan for the year. This has been in the work plan for the last 15 years. Every year for the last 15 years, this has been in the work plan. It's one of 200 pieces that they announce every year. They probably get through about 20 of them, so it remains to be seen. We haven't seen any detail. We haven't had any consultation, so it's difficult to know whether it's serious or not.
Padraig Cribbin from the Vintners, thank you very much for joining us. Listener says, evening, Matt, can't understand what is the difference between going to a dentist and going to a hairdresser. A load of rubbish, they really haven't a clue. Still very taken by what Lisa Eccles, the hairdresser, told us there about that 82-year-old woman who was so miserable on her own and can't wash her own hair, physically not able to do so, and won't have anybody to the house to actually do it because of fear of COVID. There are many, many such stories. Let's talk a little bit more to people involved in business as to what they want out of the government's latest Living with COVID roadmap to be announced tomorrow. Angela Rutledge has been with us a number of times on the programme. She's the co-owner of Monk's Green and Olive's Room restaurants in Dublin. Angela, thank you for joining us. How's the situation for your businesses at present, and what are you hoping for tomorrow?
Hi, Matt. I suppose we're doing okay. We're lucky to be based in the suburbs, in a relatively urban environment as well, so not too badly. But the reality is that our business, our industry, is going to be one of the worst affected and longest closed. There was an announcement just there yesterday from Professor Nolan that we were looking at an outdoor summer, and from the Taoiseach over the weekend that we wouldn't be open until the middle of the summer for indoor dining. So I guess it is.
Angela, you didn't make, like a lot of restaurants, didn't your efforts to provide safe indoor dining last year?
Of course, yeah, and I would always have said that of all of the sectors, that we could do it as safely as possible, with our experience in health and safety and food safety. But I guess any amount of indoor mixing is going to create a surge. I don't think any of us could have anticipated where we'd be now had we looked back at the second reopening. So it is where it is. We're going to be closed until the middle of the summer. What I would say, Matt, is that even before the pandemic came along, it was just a very, very difficult industry to be in, and the penny was beginning to drop. Even in January 2020, you saw businesses closing because it was just such an incredibly tough period for the industry even back then. And there was a realisation that the formula for running restaurants in many cases wasn't working. So just in terms of the industry, I mean, there's no barriers to entry to it. It's very competitive. It's very highly regulated. Huge labour costs and there were so many staff shortages, and there still are, with lots of perishable inputs and very high insurance costs. So I can understand why restaurant businesses, and we've seen over the weekend more restaurant closures being announced, rather than continuing to rack up costs over the next 6 months, that they're folding now. So I'm thinking already beyond the next 6 months to what's going to happen when things return to normal, in inverted commas.
Because you're in a situation whereby you have, it's a dreadful situation. You can take in far less revenue, but your costs have not dropped by as much as your revenue have dropped, I presume.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, we're in a very lucky position in that our landlord is very understanding and has, you know, offered us a significant rent reduction, but not everybody's in the same place. I mean, I have to acknowledge that, like, significant supports have been put in place, such as the CRSS, which does provide for a percentage of your 2019 turnover. In some cases, that's not enough. There are other supports there as well, and I really have to acknowledge the supports and be grateful for the ones that have been put in place. But you can still obviously not be in the same financial position that you were before the pandemic arrived. And I've been thinking a little bit about what we can do beyond the next 6 months to try and help the industry survive, because if we don't, and many of those little beautiful little Irish eateries close, who's going to take over the market from those eateries in the coming years? That's what I'm worried about. So I'm really looking at the VAT rate. It was reduced in the budget by the Minister for Finance to 9%, which I was delighted with. But then again, I was thinking that we have been recognised as essential in a similar way to supermarkets and allowed to continue to trade, and we're so grateful to be able to do that. We were told to pivot to takeaway, and my God, we really rose to the challenge. But in a supermarket, the VAT rate is 0%. So I think to help support and help the industry survive into the future, that we should really be looking at that at 9% or lower. Why not 0% for the coming years to help the industry survive?
Okay, Angela, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM. That is Angela Rutledge, co-owner of Monk's Green and Olive's Room Restaurants in Dublin. I want to go to Cork now, and I want to go to Fergal Hart, who is general manager of the Kingsley Hotel on the outskirts of Cork City, heading out west. Fergal, what are you hoping for tomorrow from the government? Would you like to, maybe a definition, first of all, of what midsummer is for reopening?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, I suppose that's really we're looking for some more certainty. Really, we're not really expecting, and we appreciate that the government is in a difficult position here, so they can't give us probably specific dates. But we would like more certainty, really, on what is going to be involved and what the phases will be. And also, you know, as Angela was saying there, you know, there was a lot of disappointment and frustration within the industry, really, with what happened over the weekend. You know, the Taoiseach's comments there in relation to midsummer. You know, at one stage, the kind of worst case scenario was looking like kind of Easter. Then that moved back to May, and then probably kind of the June bank holiday. So for it to now be midsummer, which presumably is more like kind of July, that's caused a lot of frustration, a lot of uncertainty. So really, that would be the key thing for us, is just to get more certainty and to be able to plan for the future.
Yeah, have you been cancelling loads of reservations as a result of this, or have had people booking for the likes of St. Patrick's Day, Easter, May bank holiday, June bank holiday, who are just giving up on them now?
Well, we've gone through that process. You know, we've had to at various times throughout the pandemic is push everything back, and a big frustration with it has always been, you know, that we've had very little time to make those arrangements. And so that has been a factor for us, and at all times we've tried to accommodate people. We've been as flexible as we possibly can be, and I know all my colleagues in the industry are the same in terms of cancellations and pushing dates back. But I suppose it's just a case of that, of trying to get some clarity as to when, you know, even midsummer sounds very vague. You know, we're just not clear on what that actually means. So again, it's so difficult for us to plan ahead and really.
But can you understand why the government might be reluctant to allow the sort of movement of people around the country to go and mingle in hotels, that this could actually exacerbate the situation?
Absolutely. No, and from the start, you know, the public health and the health and safety of everyone involved, including the staff in the hotels, has been absolutely key for us. That's of paramount concern to us. So really, we totally understand the difficulty that they have. But I suppose for us, the fact that, you know, at one stage we looked like we could have a decent year. Now everything has been pushed back. In reality, we're going to be probably locked down for maybe 6 months. So really, we're calling for more supports from government and for them to review the supports that are already in place, as Angela was saying there.
What about staff? You know? What about your position with staff? Because I would imagine that you have sometimes people who migrate into the country for the tourist season. Are they actually going to come back? If you are able to open up in midsummer, are you going to find maybe Irish students to replace them, or will they be trained up enough, or what are you going to do?
Well, that's another big concern for us. You know, it's always a challenge to attract people into the industry, and certainly, you know, everything that's happened during the pandemic and with the uncertainty that we're faced with now, that's going to be a major challenge for us, is just to try and ensure that we have our teams in place and that we've got the requisite training is done and that we've got all our arrangements in place for the health and safety and for COVID. So really, they're all factors that were, you know, through the Irish Hotels Federation, we've done a lot of work with the government there on training courses and on trying to ensure that we've got all of that in place. But it's certainly going to be a huge challenge for the industry.
I don't know whether you do weddings in the Kingsley, but that must be a major issue as well around the country for the hotels, which make good money out of them, but also for the people who might have already put off their wedding or now who find it very, very difficult to actually to be in a position to plan for when they can have a big family wedding.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, this has been a huge factor from the start as well, you know, and a lot of my colleagues in the industry would, you know, in a lot of cases almost rely on weddings, and that would be a massive part of their trade. It's something we do to an extent here in the Kingsley, but it's not a massive part of our business. But, you know, we've been cognizant from the start, really, for brides and grooms. It's a terrible situation because obviously they're trying to plan ahead, as you say. They're trying to ensure that they can invite their families and friends and loved ones, and they can't do it. And you know, at various times, it's been pushed back throughout, and again this year, it's just that lack of certainty, really, and you know, it's impossible for people to plan, and that applies to our employees as well in the industry. You know, it's such we're talking about people's livelihoods here, so it's such an important thing for them to be able to look ahead and to ensure that they've got their finances in place and that they can plan ahead as well. So it affects everyone, really, for employees, the employers and the consumer as well.
All right. Fergal Hart, General Manager of the Kingsley Hotel in Cork, thanks very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.